What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson producing, the newly married Adam Bingen joining us from The Athletic. Adam, welcome to the show. How is marital bliss treating you?
It's treating me quite well. It'll be 1 month next week, hard to believe. But as my wife and I typically say when we're asked how married life is, we just basically say it's the same, except now that she shares my health insurance and car insurance.
Well, good luck keeping it the same, Adam.
I have a lot of faith in my husband abilities.
Oh no, it's never about the husband abilities. It's always her expectations that change when you get married, Adam. So congratulations,
okay.
Man. No, congratulations, dude. And so I know I hadn't talked to you since then, so I wanted to say congrats publicly.
Thank you.
Just first question here. What do you know about John Hines, and what makes him different than Peter Laviolette, and how are fans going to see that sort of manifest itself on the ice?
That's a good question, because I'm still sort of learning on the fly, just as John Hines is, with yesterday being his first day. I know it's easy to look at his record in New Jersey. The fact that in four-plus seasons, he went to one Stanley Cup playoff, and they lost in the first round. That this year, they were 30th in the league when they fired him about a month ago. And you look at some of maybe the Devils' underlying numbers, see how poor they are, and think that's a reflection of him as a coach. I don't think that's the case at all. David Poyle and the Predators front office certainly had high enough regard for John Hines that they turned around very quickly after they fired Peter Laviolette and made sure that John Hines did not get away. But I was very impressed. I know this is going to be an incredibly bad sports writing, sports talk radio cliche, but he won the press conference yesterday. I think before the game and after the game as well, he's incredibly expansive and thoughtful with his responses. He did a great job of explaining what his expectations are. And I agree that I don't think there's so much tinkering with the quote-unquote system that needs to happen. I do think there are some aspects of the team's play that need to be corrected. But John Hines was able to ascend the coaching ranks because of his ability to motivate, and I think that's exactly what this team needs right now. They're not a bad team. They're not playing well, but the pieces are there for this team to be quite good. And I think a different perspective from a coach that knows how to get the best out of players, as John Hines apparently has throughout his coaching career at different levels, I do think it is a good attribute for this team's new coach to have at this time.
Yeah, he's going to have to do something, Adam, because this team, since the start of the season, and you can go back to last season toward the end of the season and how they ended the playoffs, they've just been inconsistent, and everyone's trying to figure out why a team so talented can be so inconsistent. And I just think that this team, you'll start to see the bigger jump come next year when he has a full off season to implement his style of play, his vision for this team. I just don't think this team right now is a playoff team, and short of a miracle, I don't think they make the playoffs, because I just think those same problems they're having now will end up being the demise of them toward the end of the season.
Well, what's interesting, Derek, is yesterday at the press conference, John Hines was asked to diagnose the Predators' problems from what he saw from afar. And he said that he saw a lot of inconsistencies in their game. And last night, he saw them up close. I thought the way the Predators played last night was basically a crash course for John Hines on, okay, this is why this team isn't playing well. What do I need to do to fix it? Goaltending was iffy. Defensive coverage was haphazard. The penalty kill was a mess. You know, they played well in spurts, but not consistently over the course of the entire game. You know, everything we've been talking about, they did last night, and John Hines had the opportunity to see it from the bench. And I know that today is really the first day for him because this is his first practice. This is the first day where he's going to implement his vision on this roster. And I agree with you, Derek. I mean, I know that a lot of people look at what the St. Louis Blues did last year and how they were able to go from worst in the league around this time to the Stanley Cup champion. The likelihood of that happening again are incredibly slim for any team. And I don't want to say that this is a lost season for the Nashville Predators, but it sort of has that feel. And if it means that the next 41 games are just John Hines getting a sense of his roster, David Poile doing more evaluation of who needs to be on this team moving forward, and as you said, go into the offseason and really put into place a plan to get this team back on track, I mean, I don't think that's a terrible thing. If that's ultimately what happens to this group, I don't think it's a terrible thing.
Adam Vinken joining us here from The Athletic, and I think Pekka Rinne would think that's terrible because I think, and you tell me what you think about this, but his language and the way he's spoken about this whole situation, it strikes me as a guy who is very well aware of where he's at in his career and knows he doesn't have too many more chances left on the table.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly Pekka Rinne would have every right to disagree with what I just said and what Derek just said. He knows that he's got this year and next year, and that might be it to win a Stanley Cup. And certainly he does not want to waste one of those 2 years on a quote-unquote lost season, as I just said. But, you know, you look at that goal that David Pastrnak scored at the beginning of the game yesterday. Now, Pastrnak is the best goal scorer in the National Hockey League right now. So he makes shots that don't seem like they should go in, just because he's so immensely talented at putting the puck in the net. And I hate to say this as someone who watches from so far up in the press box, but that's the kind of save that Pekka Rinne needs to make. And that's the kind of save that he and UC Saros have struggled to make this season. And it's easy to scapegoat the goaltending because it's like a pitcher in baseball or a quarterback. You know, it's the most isolated position on the ice surface or on the field. And the numbers that they have reflect not just their play, but the team's play in front of them. So I don't put it all on Pekka and UC. But goaltending, as I've written many times over the past couple of weeks, has been this team's biggest downfall, in my opinion, and it's exposed their other weaknesses, which it's now John Hines' responsibility to fix.
Do you think there will be a complete coaching change as far as staff once the season's over? Because obviously there were only two people that were let go, but the staff as a whole, majority, 90% of those guys stayed intact. Do you see a huge overhaul at the end of the season?
That's a good question. Certainly it helped John Hines to have Dan Muse and Dan Lambert on the staff. They basically coached the game yesterday. They also added Rob Scuderi, who's been in the organization as a developmental coach. He's an interim assistant coach. So it's possible that there could be some changes because it's very rare when a coach comes in that he inherits his assistants and then keeps them. Now, of course, one of those examples is Peter Laviolette with Kevin McCarthy. Peter Laviolette inherited Kevin McCarthy in Carolina, and they've been attached at the hip since. So it is possible that Dan Muse and Dan Lambert stick around, but I almost see it as this as maybe not as much of an audition for them as it is for the players on this team. You know, John Hines needs to see that those two can help him coach this team, and if he feels that he needs more familiarity with his staff, perhaps he makes a change. But for now, it's good to have some holdovers on staff.
I think that speaks to the players too. Adam Vinken joining us here from The Athletic, and you know, David Poile's got the deadline coming up in a little bit. They're going to be going. John Hines is going to be going through a heavy evaluation period between now and then. They've got expiring contracts for guys like Mikael Granlund and Craig Smith. Do you expect this team? Because, again, if you think this is a lost season, do you move pieces to try to build for next year? I mean, I don't know what the right strategy is. So what do you expect from David Poile at the deadline as it pertains to personnel, players?
My guess is that at least one of the players on an expiring contract is moved. And the most practical is Mikael Granlund I mean, my understanding is that there have not been any contract talks of substance between the Predators and Mikael Granlund's representation. Perhaps they'll see if Mikael Granlund can respond to the coaching change, and maybe that makes him more productive. But it just hasn't worked here, and he's going to be too expensive to keep with the other contracts that they're going to have next year, particularly Roman Josi's new contract taking effect. So I think it would make a lot of sense to sell Mikael Granlund, whether you get a mid-round draft pick or a B-level prospect or something. I think it's better than getting nothing. I mean, I'd be really curious about Craig Smith. I mean, he's really been playing well over the last couple of weeks, and it's hard to imagine Craig Smith not playing for the Predators. But, you know, you wonder maybe if they keep him as an own rental and if he doesn't come back in the summertime, or there have been examples of players being traded at the deadline and then re-signing with their old team in the summer. I'm also very curious about Nick Bonino, and this is just me talking. I mean, his value has never been higher. He's got 1 year left after this one. He makes $4.1 million. He's had a really good season. He's made me eat a whole ton of crow. but his value, as I said, has never been higher. And I'd be curious, and he's the kind of player that contending teams lust after at the trade deadline. He's a veteran player, Stanley Cup champion, does things on both ends of the ice. I think if this season were to slip away, I think they should strongly consider trading Nick Bonino.
Well, eating crow, all Nick Bonino is doing for you is preparing you for marriage. That's all Nick Bonino is doing. He's just getting you ready for that.
And now we've come full circle.
Yep.
Now, quickly, I don't know if you mentioned Kyle Turris or not. I think you did. Not from a trade standpoint, but do you think this is a move that can potentially jumpstart Turris, and he puts Turris in a position to succeed? And we see the Turris that we thought we were going to get when they brought him here.
You certainly hope so, because they're not going to be able to trade him. And we've talked about this before because of his contract. And my colleague Craig Cousins at The Athletic today had a story with the trade tiers for the upcoming trade deadline. And Kyle Turris, according to an NHL source that Cousins spoke to, that source said they've been trying to sell Turris for over a year. They're not having any luck there, which I think is obvious to anyone who's seen what's happened with Turris and who was devalued even further by being scratched in seven consecutive games. So of the players I look to that I would hope benefit most from a coaching change, it would be Kyle Turris, because it's clear he and Peter Laviolette did not see eye to eye, and this is an opportunity for him to get back to the player he was when they traded for him.
Adam, always a pleasure, my friend. Love talking to you. Thank you so much for your insight. We do appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you, Adam Vingan. And, I talked to him off the air a couple of days ago, and I said, listen, do you want to be right or do you want to be married? That's the question you have to ask yourself once you get married, Derek. Do you want to be right? Or do you want to be married? It's a very, very easy answer. I'd like to be married. I'd like to stay married.
You pick.
So I guess I'll be wrong today.
Can I get a lifeline, please?
I'm just going to be wrong because I'd like to stay married. All right. Big finish when we come back. Man, we got a huge week going on this week here in Nashville. So big finish when we come back right here on Morning Drive.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.